Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo in a world where, oh my God, Democrats, really? I mean, really, darlings? Have you not now shown your true colors, your true selves? You expose the world to your unique brand of cringe, a veritable cornucopia of cringe. Not just one cornucopia, sort of cornucopia or whatever the plural of it is. It's not just one cringed, you binged on cringe. The whole world witnessed your descent into cringe binge, and the world saw firsthand that you, as a Luciferian hive mind, have now become completely unhinged. JFK is turning in his grave. What happened to your once great party, the once my party? Good Lord, once you were mainstream, now you are lunatic fringe. Your pouty, shouty, piglet snouty display of what I am sure you thought was righteous outrage has kicked you right off the big boys table and into the shallows. It finally happened, I guess, all this wokeism. You finally collapsed under the weight of your own dysfunction. You presented yourselves as stupid, clueless, people out of touch completely with today's world. And to use an old London colloquialism, you presented yourselves as a bunch of arrogant wankers. I mean, I just can't get over it. You just sat there like so many heaps of putrid dung, stinking up the house, you know, the big house, the house with the H. And all because we found your secret slush fund. And, oh my God, it wasn't exactly petty cash, was it? The corruption, which all parties are party to, hello rhinos out there, the corruption, the theft of my tax dollars is beyond even my initial projections. I mean, you just sat there, and by sitting there doing your very best to appear united and defiant, holding up your little paddles with your favorite little words painted on them. Oh, look, Mummy, I'm hating Donald Trump. This is me hating Donald Trump. Aren't I a good little Marxist minion, Mummy? Will I get a cookie? No, of course you won't, you idiot. Because while the rest of America loses their cookies over your antics, Doge has locked up your cookies. And now you will starve, and I hope you do, because you spent years raiding America's cookie cupboard. Naughty. You took, oh, that's a lovely drink. You took the whole kit and caboodle, but guess what? America will bake a new cookie, the Patriot Snickerdoodle. You guys, you gals and all the other genders in between you, you gorged yourselves on the fruits of our labor while throwing us a few crumbs now and then to appease us. while you sat and thought up a new tax every 10 minutes with which to destroy us. And, you know, Americans of late have been so busy getting enough labor done just to have shelter and some food, they let you. But those days are over. No more rolling in the clover for you. After that performance in the House, before the president, whose office you couldn't even be buggered to respect, you showed the whole world what mass psychosis really is. There is something really wrong with the ragged remnants of today's Democratic Party. We caught you cheating, and your response was to cry about it, lie about it, but you weren't shy about it when you took the money, were you? How many of you will end up in prison once the accounting gets sorted out? Rhinos too. A significant percentage, I imagine. What a performance. The Democratic Party is no longer relevant now, thanks to your little show. And we didn't even have to lift a finger because you did it all yourselves. I guess Sun Tzu was right when he said something along the lines of, it is more important to outthink your enemy than to outfight him. Clearly, the thinking is on the Trump team these days. Apparently, it is true that given the correct amount of money, almost any human relationship can be altered. And greed is a demon, isn't it? Those seven deadly sins, they're all demons, really. Greed and the desire for more and more power. And that opens up the energy centers of lust, which, you know, inappropriate use of sexual energy. Anyway, get back to it, Arnie. So our entire economy then is based on fraud. I think we have figured this out. Whether it's all this, these NGOs spending all our tax money, or whether it's because we pay illegal immigrants a pittance to work in the fields all day, all of that is fraud. It's a false economy. Now let's take a moment to truly absorb what that means. Well, first off, it won't be easy to sort out. But at least the good guys have a solid plan for it. And I certainly can't fault them for their sense of urgency, because this stuff has to get done as quickly as possible for many reasons. But can we just take a moment, I think, and remind ourselves of just a few of the things the deep state minions have lied about, which are now proven to be, you know, lies? Because I think there's no real easy way to tell people that they have devoted their entire life to somebody else's thought process, that all the people that they're supporting really do bugger children and drink blood and eat their flesh and take our tax dollars. And beyond that are even worse things in the upper echelons of the Luciferian tier that I can't even bring my feminine little mouth to utter some of the things that happen there. As an exercise in how easy it is to be duped, if you allow yourself to listen to the news over and over and over and over and over and over again forever and ever until it becomes a reality, let's just remind ourselves of just a few of the things that they lied about. Russian collusion. Was there Russian collusion? Yes, but it wasn't. It wasn't by the accused. No, that was bollocks, all of it. Ukraine, of course, the Ukraine war, the Ukraine biolabs. They told us we don't have any biolabs in Ukraine. The CIA doesn't operate in Ukraine. Of course they do. Of course they still do. And it's the biolabs that we are trying to blow up primarily. But the whole premise of the war was sold as a lie. Putin had to do that exceptionally long interview with Tucker Carlson to explain the history of it. I'll shorten it for you. It all began with a little military base in Sebastopol and got very, very out of hand after that. So Ukraine is a money laundering operation. That's what perpetual war is. Lies, lies, lies. Of course, how can we forget about the COVID-19 plandemic depopulation event, where a contagion was created and unleashed, which may or may not have been dangerous, but it was unleashed so that they could sell a depopulating bioweapon as a vaccine. I've talked about that ad nauseum at great length, so let's not go into that. I think we all know that is a bomb that is about to explode on the heads of everybody, because everybody is going to, they're going to get into their own lifeboats. You know, the insurance companies are not going to help pharma. Pharma are not going to back the practitioners. The practitioners are going to be told, well, you gave it, you're responsible for it. That is a big mess, big lie. They lied, of course, also about the efficacy of the lockdowns. There are times, of course, where lockdowns are really useful in genuine contagions. But we know that this one served two purposes. One, to depopulate mankind, and to take total control of Earth's resources. We were lied to about the face masks, the paper little bluey things that would never prevent a contagion. Somebody gave me a box of 100 of those, and I used them to polish my shoes, but they fell apart very quickly, so I threw them away. Of course, they lied about the vaccine. We talked about that. Ivermectin. This is the thing with Trump derangement syndrome. If the man had gone up there and said, drink water, have a good bowel movement every day, and get 5 minutes of sunlight, which are all very healthy and normal things to do, they would have done the complete opposite. They kept the efficacy of ivermectin from us. Why would you do that? Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Yes, they want to kill us. Right. And also hydroxychloroquine, which you can make at home. My partner did make a whole batch of it. It doesn't taste very good, but who cares if it's going to save your life? Then we had the whole Twitter and Facebook censorship thing. Oh, we're not censored. We don't censor. We don't censor. No, no. Well, you know, we were censoring because the big guys told us that they would do terrible things to us. Okay, so that was a lie. The fake steel dossier. Well, it was fake. Moving on. Of course, they lied about the 2020 election. I think at this point, mountains of unimpeachable evidence to show that ballots were stuffed and things went horribly wrong. It was a lie, as was all of the other things they wove into the whole election interference things. The 2022 midterms, there we go, it was all affected. Hunter's laptop. A friend of mine, who is also called Q, but he's not that Q, bought a book by, I think, Marco Polo, and took great pleasure in showing me 1,000,001 pictures of Hunter's penis and him doing drugs and whatever. Good Lord, people, this was the ex-president's son. How was there not more of an outrage about this? Of course it's real. And all of his dealings with Burisma and all the money laundering and it, connect the dots, connect the dots, connect the dots. Hillary's emails, where are they? Lies, lies, lies. FBI, CIA spying on American citizens through social media and other means. Oh, we don't do that. We would never do that. They do. Lie, lie, lie. 9/11, we all know that was a lie. Saddam, Iraq, and weapons of mass disruption. Oh, so terribly sorry we went in there and we were wrong. Tony Blair, that little piece of shit, goes there, shows up at Bilderberg one day, and then the next day he's prime minister. He had to go back a couple of years ago, I think it was. Time means nothing to me anymore. I get confused. And said, well, I'm terribly sorry. I was really wrong, and it really breaks my heart, and da-da-da-da. Heavens, when will mankind stop falling for this rubbish? Pizzagate. Oh, that could never happen, Arnie. Pizzagate. Lies. Of course it happened. It's all part of the international human trafficking. Oh, that would never happen. It happening. Lies. All of it lies. Epstein Island and little Ghislaine with her little submarine. Good Lord. I have no idea when we're going to see. Well, I don't think there's one Epstein file. It's not like it's going to be a revelation and a holy scripture is going to show up and that's the Epstein file, right? I don't know when we're going to see it. I don't know what Pam Bondi is trying to do with it or whatever. I also know, I'm pretty sure it's going to expose the Israeli lobby. So just, I don't know what they're trying to do with that. Will we ever see it? Will we see a version of that Epstein Island? But I will just say one thing. I do trust the plan, and I trust 90% of the people that are around Trump. The people need to see someone dragged out in chains about this pretty soon. Patriot Act. Woo! Wow. The Global War on Terror. I think it was Gore Vidal, exceptional writer, by the way, in my opinion, who says, how do you declare a war on terror? It's nebulous. It's like declaring a war on dandruff. The southern border. We were told we didn't have money to finish the wall while billions and billions and billions and billions are going to Ukraine and God knows where through these NGOs and back into the pockets of the deep state minions. January the 6th, I watched hours of tape. You get a whole new take on that. They lied about that. I'm not even going to go back as far as Vietnam. All wars are lies. I'm not going to go back as far as Watergate. But you know what? We want the files on JFK Sr. and RFK Sr. We want more information about Martin Luther King. Benghazi. Lies, 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 lies. Benghazi. You might be getting the impression I have something against Hillary Clinton, and that's for a very good reason. I want everyone to know exactly what happened at Benghazi. And the same with Afghanistan. I mean, good Lord, walking away with all of that ordnance in the hands of those 18, 19-year-old idiots running around veiling women and beating people. What happened to this country? Thank God Team Trump is back. War on drugs, about as stupid as the war on terror. Especially since the CIA were the ones facilitating the drugs coming into the country in the first place. And Arnie, why doesn't anyone do anything about this? Well, the banks aren't going to do anything about it if people are stuffing their money in there, are they? Connect the dots. It's all dots. The HIV AIDS. Oh, start researching Fauci's part in that. They lied about that. The whole thing about cancer, for a start. They lied about what it is, but anybody who finds a cure or a way to reverse it seems to wake up in heaven. The whole Green Deal, climate change, lies? Yes, of course it's lies. Is there climate change? The planet is a biological unit. We expect it to change, but we understand that this whole new Green Deal was again about New World Order. Exercising control and, interestingly enough, damaging the planet in the meantime by doing these things that are supposed to save the planet. In addition to that, thanks to RFK, we do know that our food, our water, everything has harmful chemicals in it. Whatever we wash our asses with has harmful chemicals in it. So we're going to have to work very, very hard as a point of self-respect to get rid of all that stuff. The Federal Reserve, I'll be very interested to see what happens there. We all know it's neither federal nor does it have the reserves we think it does. Most American citizens still don't know about the Washington Act of 1871, which took America from a sovereign republic into a corporation, which in essence contradicts the Constitution. Because we are citizens with rights given to us by whatever you want to call God. We're not corporate slaves, are we? Posing as citizens with certain privileges and begging for crumbs under a fully laden table. Mass shootings. They're set up. And take a look at the profile of the shooters. The Great Reset. They would have us go into a cashless society. Of course, it's all part of New World Order. That isn't going to happen. I think under Trump, we will have our cryptocurrency, which I don't really understand, but we should have an alternative to everything else. They can live side by side. Our Great Reset, and there will be an economic crash. Of course, you all know that, right? There was going to be one anyway, regardless of who is president. We have to have a Great Reset. But our version of the Great Reset means that we will have permanent change and we will never go back to this corruption. So it'll be a little dark and stormy for a short time, but then permanent change. Moving on, Agenda 21, Agenda 2024. I have talked about those. Again, New World Order. No, 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 these 15-minute cities, Arnie. They're to save the population. They're to save... No, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. It's all to do with greed and lust control, slavery, transhumanism, posthumanism. They lied about Anthony Weiner's laptop. I still can't get over what happened to Assange and WikiLeaks. That man should never have spent a second in prison. Waco, Ruby Ridge, the entertainment industry, Oklahoma City bombing. That man was sheep-dipped. Andrew Breitbart's death. The whole thing around gold, whether we have it or not. What about Clan Obama and Big Mike? And interesting, Candace Owens, who I like, she's a little too conservative for me some of the time, but she's got this thing now, she's really chasing after whether Macron's wife is really a man, which I think she is because she's butt ugly, but is not just a man, but may actually be his clan father. You know, from the way the Illuminati interbreed themselves and do these things. And I understand that Candace Owen has been offered a ridiculous amount of money to shut the heck up about it, which she won't. Interesting times ahead. Okay, Haiti. Haiti didn't see any of the money that was raised by the Clintons because that was a human trafficking and money laundering operation. We don't even have to mention Wall Street's and investments. Feminism. I might wax lyrical about that on another podcast. I don't think people are understanding what equality really means. But the way it was presented was a scam to break up the family. It was not about the evolution of things. You are not the boss of a family just because you make the money. Marriage is teamwork, male and female divided equally. Towards a common goal. Antarctica, Admiral Byrd. They wouldn't let him talk about what he saw until he died. And then, of course, you got Operation Mockingbird. Oh, we didn't do that. Yes, you did. Paperclip, Bluebeam, MK Ultra, which I have, unfortunately, intimate knowledge of. They're all part of Operation Deep Turd, you know, designed to serve the deep state ideology and destroy mankind's sovereignty. Chemtrails under the guise of weather manipulation. The moon landing. Okay, depends on who you ask, but lots of dodgy stuff around the moon landing, right? Roswell, hidden behind so many layers of lies and interdepartmental ego bashing and, dick bashing, whatever those men get up to. We'll never get to the bottom of that. NASA, of course. What is NASA? We have the space agency now. Legacy media? So obvious now, even to the normies, that they were biased. What did one of my little teenagers say to me the other day? He said, "It's not mainstream news. It's Satan spews news." I thought that was very clever. And of course, you know, critical race theory and PC, political correctness, designed to stop people from talking and ultimately from thinking. And I must say it did work because the stupid quota has certainly been reached. Then, of course, we have the transhuman agenda to turn us into biological automatons that can be hacked and programmed. And the hijacking of LGB, which in the back in the old days was lesbian, gay, bisexual, whatever. But you see, it didn't have all manner of weirdness attached to it. And your common or garden variety gay person is appalled that Pride now has paedophiles, etc. Because all Pride was about back in the day was that you didn't want to be fired from your job if someone found out you were gay. No one wanted to glorify being gay. Why would they? No one wanted special rights for being gay. They just wanted to be left alone and not discriminated against in the workplace. And no gay person I know wants to be included in a group that glorifies severe mental health issues bordering on criminal insanity, such as paedophilia and severe gender dysphoria. Got that off my chest now, because nobody had a problem with gays, and now they do. And it's not our fault. It's the Illuminati's fault, who also created BLM and Antifa to create discord and also to channel yet more funds into the Democrat We Hate Party coffers. You know, Democrats, we hate America. That should be your middle name. Because, you know, we were all beginning to get along quite well, weren't we? So we just had to get in there and glorify victimhood and poverty and division over sovereignty and, you know, over sovereignty and sanity and prosperity, which is the sensible goal, I think. So fraud and lies in the platform we helped to create and now stand upon. So it has to crash, so expect that. We will have a reset, and it may feel a tad spooky when it happens, but please realize we are fixing things now with sanity and common sense, and it will be a permanent change. And that requires hard work and patience and, of course, an understanding of what it is we are actually fighting for. What am I fighting for? Let me have a little drinky poo. That little rant made me dry. Hold on. What am I fighting for is life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. Because we're sovereign souls, expressions of cosmic intelligence. How did we get to that point? Well, it's very simple. Because we're not yet self-realized. What does that mean? It means we have not reclaimed our minds from the Matrix manipulation program. The American government took a deep dive into deep state after JFK's murder. America has operated as a money laundering machine for decades. We, the people, have been shat upon for decades. And now, because it ends now, because people who don't owe allegiance to Lucifer are back in charge. And that's lovely and huzzah and jolly good and go, go, go. The beast will not be taken down in one fell swoop. It is too big. It is too strong. It is too stubborn. And it is all of those things because we have spent far too much time feeding it. It will be killed by the death of 1,000 cuts. And when it is weak and bleeding out, crawling on its belly with no ability to produce new illusions with which to trick our minds, when it is there for all to see what they have supported and defended all these years, then someone will deal the final blow. And I could care less who gets the credit for that. I just want to see it done. And a word of warning to we, the people. Each one of us can play a part in the restoration of the Republic. Start by not accepting what you know to be blatant lies. Speak out against the lies and tell your friends why you have stopped participating in the endless he said, she said games. Second, do not obey immoral instructions. Define your core values and remain true to them. If you do nothing but the two things I mentioned above, you will make a difference to the collective energy. Do we want to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, the happy, the prosperous, the respected? Or do we want to live in the land of the depraved, the crappy, and the constantly taxed and inspected? Oh, my God, I'm tired after that. Well, I think that's enough pontification for one show. What do you think? I think so. What else do we have to offer today? What's on offer for our lovely audience today? Let me have a little sip of this lovely drinky poo. Oh, that's not bad. That's not half bad. That's all good, actually. Me. Okay, I think let's move on to quack. Quack, questions, answers, and comments. You see, darlings, you know, that's why we started the show in the first place. It was for questions, answers, and comments. We didn't want anybody out there feeling disenfranchised. So if you would like to share the golden nuggets of wisdom in your noggins with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, Ani@aniabedissian.com, or you can send me a postcard via snail mail, Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. Don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will refer to you as Omit Personal Details. All righty, let's go ahead and shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. Can you hear that? It's plastic now. It was glass before. It broke. It's plastic now. So I'm shaking it up, and let's see what pops out. So shaky, shaky. All right, let's open up the first letter here, and let's see what it is. Okay, this one is from Carlos in Modesto, California, who writes, "Dear Ani, my brother says he can see into the future, but it doesn't always come true. Is this the same thing as remote viewing? I hope he is not in danger from dark energies." Carlos, well, one can remote view into the potential of the future, but that is not the entire definition of the term. If you look at the dictionary definition, it's something like it's a mental faculty that allows the viewer to give details about a target that is inaccessible to normal senses due to time, distance, or some type of shielding. So in other words, remote viewing, you do not see it with your eyes, but you see it with your mind. And because our minds can both transmit and receive, the universe speaks in frequency. So it's not exactly woo-woo stuff. And you don't have to be psychic, per se, to learn remote viewing. The military are very fond of remote viewing, and they are not known for their surplus of psychic personnel. When you say your brother can see the future, but it all doesn't always come true, are you trying to say he has premonitions in his dream? I'm not sure how the information comes to him. You may want to write to me and clarify that. Well, the reason they don't always come true is because every thought changes the future. So every thought will change the future remote view. Remote views into the future are at best snapshots of potential. And I can't comment on him being in danger from dark energies, because it depends on his sense of spirit and whether or not he has had any training on how to maintain his energy anatomy. So you live in Central California, and I'm quite familiar with that area. So I'm sure you're going to be able to find a local shaman, a wise man, a wise woman, indigenous or not, who can guide you and your brother in this interdimensional hygiene. Because paranormal should never be allowed to become paranoia. Okay, we live in the light. We are the light. All information comes to us from the light, the purest light, and only the light. And there is only light because that's how information is transmitted. I think it'll be fine. Just make sure he knows how to keep his aura clear. It sounds like he's doing more than remote viewing here. Thank you, Carlos in Modesto. Let's see what else is in the fishbowl today. Give it a bit of a shufti. It's a lot noisier than my other fishbowl. Let's see what we've got here. And, oh, I think I remember. Dear Ani, I seem to have lost all the joy in life. I spend my evenings questioning past choices, sighing at lost opportunities, and giving my dog far too many treats. Last week, I tried a new brand of toothpaste, but even that failed to put the Joe back in my mo. I thought retirement would be easier than this. any ideas on how to get moving again. And you haven't given me any permission, so I'm going to call you Omit. It's probably that new toothpaste that's calcifying your pineal gland and refusing to let the joy back into your life. Look, my love, this sort of thing happens to us at the start of each new life cycle. You had a set routine during your working years, and now you're free to live the wildling life and frolic with unicorns in the fey realm or whatever floats your boat. I suggest writing a new routine for yourself. That would be the easiest thing to do. You know, what are your hobbies? What are your interests? Are you interested in taking classes at community college or your local senior center? Would you like to learn something new and radical? You have a dog. Would you like to learn how to communicate with animals? Take an animal telepathy course thing, you know? I can make recommendations. I think that we spend so much time as adults working and caring for family that by the time we retire, we don't know who the heck we are. And we think, oh, retirement. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror and we go, I don't know what to do with myself because I don't know who I am. My dearest Omit, you need to get to know yourself. Take yourself down to the pub with your dog, get yourself a pint, and ask yourself some questions. And if you are confused by the answers, ask yourself out again tomorrow night and ask the questions again. What else is in the fishbowl today? Let's take a look here. I'm just, these come in the email usually, and I just print them off, give them a quick glance, wrap them up and throw them in the bowl. I know obviously, because it's my email, what's coming in, but I don't know which ones I'm going to pick or in what order. let's see. Dear Ani, do you know about the Voynich manuscripts? As far as I know, no one has been able to decipher it. In my opinion, and I am not a scholar, I think it's genuine. It may be oddball, but it feels real to me. And this is signed by someone calling themselves Ramen Noodle. Jolly good Ramen Noodle, I'm a big fan. This is what I know about the Voynich manuscripts, and I am going to go and learn more about them. I had a conversation just a little bit ago, Matthew, of Messages from Matthew, and Commander Hatton actually just slipped in. It is genuine, and it is Earth's first language, Earth's original language. And I honestly don't know more about that, but I will make more inquiries on my next sort of, you know, channeling session there. So thank you, Ramen Noodle, for writing in with that tasty little morsel. Silly old pun, fully intended. All right, what's next? What's next? There's a few more in here. This is from Ivan, who lives in Los Angeles. And it's a rather long letter, which I'm not going to read all, but Ivan was born in the USA and is an American citizen. Both of his parents are Russian and are naturalized American citizens. And he also shared his babushka's recipe for solyanka, which appears to be a hearty stew with meat and veggies and potato, the perfect meal for a cold and damp Oregon day. So, spasiba, Ivan. And he has a question. He says, in one of your older podcasts, you gave a brief but useful description of various types of government ideology. Any chance you could repeat that? Oh, God, of all the letters, I had to pick this one. Types of government ideology? I wonder if you mean explaining the difference between communism and capitalism? I'm trying to remember. It was so, God, I've been doing this for almost 5 years now. I think this is what you mean. I'm going to take a stab at it. So there's capitalism, communism, socialism, democratic socialism. And to loosely define these terms and, you know, which is the best, in the long run, I'll save you some trouble. The only one that really goes with free will is capitalism. You could say that if all the others were run by benevolent, spirit-centered beings, they also would work. But if you really think about it, they wouldn't exist if they were spirit-centered, benevolent beings who worshipped sovereignty over insanity. So briefly, I don't want it to take up the whole show, but I'm honor bound to answer this question. Capitalism is about free trade and allowing individuals and groups to develop unlimited, I guess, profits. And if it's practiced from a moral compass, a compassionate compass, based on supply and demand of need and not feed the greed, as it were, you know, and you do that by artificially enhancing benefits of value of products by marketing them, you know, in its purity, capitalism is the bomb. It's the way to go. It has upsides and downsides, but everybody is free to pursue the joy that comes with unlimited wealth. But you could say that in a free-for-all arena, if there's too much of a lack of regulation, it could end up with most of the wealth being in the hands of the few and is susceptible to corruption. Everything is susceptible to corruption. That's why our focus has to be on self-realization and having a moral compass. If you imagine a world full of self-realized people with a free trade capitalist system, that's about as close to paradise as I can get. When you talk about communism, we would say that we're creating a classless society with absolute equality, which, and at its core, in the beginning, it didn't really actually want any form of government. It was just a group of patriots who identified and took down corruption. But that isn't enough to prevent foreign interference, generally through massive funding. And that's what led, for example, to Stalin's rise. A group of patriots may be noble and wonderful, but they can't stave off what we refer to as the, you know, the Rothschild, the Red Shield banking infiltration. In communism, the government dictates the price, the supply, the distribution of goods, of ideas, actually, of everything. And it can sound lovely, again, if you have a benevolent government with a functioning moral compass, blah, blah, blah. But you see, how do you get people with more to give it up and give it away to people who have less, who didn't earn it? So you can only do that by force. And so regimes that promote communism turn into authoritarian boot-stomping regimes. And we've seen that happen over and over again, not just with communism, of course, but with any regime seeking to overthrow its oppressor. And often, very often, the new guys end up being worse than the old guard. So, you know, is it not susceptible to? Of course it's susceptible to corruption. Everything is. That's why you need a moral compass. So, oh my God, I wasn't expecting to do this. Hold on, I need a drink. Oh, that is a lovely drink. Socialism, how does that differ from communism? Well, on some level, they want to merge the best of capitalism and the best of socialism together, I suppose. They understand there should be some free market, but the government must own and control all of the major industries. And apparently it must do this to ensure that the people benefit from the profits generated by the government-controlled industries. And I'm going to take a little giggle over that one because it sounds lovely. But, you know, if you don't have a moral compass, and we do have to admit most don't, it's susceptible to corruption. And then Bernie Sanders comes along with his democratic socialism, a man who burnt his legacy to a crisp in the last 3 weeks. What's the difference between democratic socialism and socialism? Okay, so democratic socialism believes in social ownership of major industries by government, or perhaps a type of workers' alliance. It holds space for those. But there are I think I can only think of two ways with which they differ from traditional socialism. They say they will not tolerate any type of absolute authoritarian control because they consider that undemocratic. And so they reject Soviet style of government, of a very long-term planned economy, you know, where the government sets and controls the price of goods and services forever and ever and ever. I think they believe that workers should enjoy a larger share of the profits of the work that they generate. They seem aware of the planned erosion of the middle class through this trickle-down Freakonomics. I think Bernie or they, these democratic socialists, they believe we should have social safety nets. They believe in Medicare, pensions, cheap free tuition, decent minimum wage. They believe these things impact positively the long-term growth of society. I do not. If I remember rightly, Bernie was opposed to the idea of government owning the country's major industries, what we call the means of production. And I believe he did say he wanted to restore the middle class and raise up the working class. But he took the model of the Nordic countries, which identify as social democracies. And those guys, they pay a ridiculous amount of money in taxes. And they're not as good as they should be about demanding stuff back. So is social democracy basically a capitalist system with a robust social safety net? What's a good system? I think people need to understand these systems a little better. If you want my spiritual take on it, self-realize, and the capitalist system will work for you. No other will. Thank you for that question, which I was hoping I didn't pick and was put on the spot. Hopefully I didn't make any major blunders. Let's take one more. Or we've got, I think, three more in here. We'll take a look how far we can get. I do have a very silly poem for you. I don't want to run out of time for that. So let's see what's going on here. Is that a blank piece of paper? Oh, no, it's not. It doesn't have much written on it. Okay. Oh, yes. Dear Arnie, was Edgar Cayce the real deal or a conman? From Peter Initial T. Peter, he was real. Because he would have been very wealthy had he been a conman. And let's move on. And another little question here. Let's see. What do we have? This is from Debbie Millman in Manitoba. Isn't that prairie land up in Canada there? Hey, Canada, what do you think of your new prime minister that you didn't vote for? I don't mean that to sound mocking. You know, we're with you. We too want to overthrow the New World Order. We're just doing a little better at it than you are right now. So Debbie Millman, who may or may not be a prairie person, she writes, Arnie, if I host a private spiritual salon, would you be willing to fly up my way for it? I feel it would clear up so many gray areas and loose ends for us. Ooh, Debbie, of course I'm willing to fly your way for a salon, as long as you pay my fee and cover my expenses. I don't see a problem. So send me a private email and we'll chat. Well, that was easy. Moving on, what else do we have? Here we go. This is, I can't say her name, so this is from Omit, who says, Arnie, I too am an ex-Brit, now an American citizen. It was a rocky start for me 20 years ago, but it turned out fine. I've had a few problems along the way, but have always managed to think my way out of the funk and back into the fun. I like that. Out of the funk and back into the fun. Once in a while, though, I do get a bit overwhelmed. The environment at work is noisy and full of distractions. Do you have any tips on how I can snap out of the overwhelm and get back into focus? Something easy, please, Arnie, that doesn't require tools or incense, as I will be doing this in my cubicle. Understood. Okay, look, this is an easy one, and one of the best at instantly focusing the mind. It's called a give it to the flame. Essentially, you recreate a candle flame in your mind's eye. You focus on the flame, on its flicker, the change of color. Focus on it and give your mind to it. Let all the surplus annoyances of the day be burned up in the pure light of the flame. I recommend you start by purchasing an actual candle, white or cream, and then light it. Place it at eye level a few feet in front of you. You should be able to see the flame clearly without straining your eyes. Now focus on the flame. And, you know, don't get emotional about it or attempt to have a spiritual experience. That's not what this is about. This is about burning up the distractions in your mind and allowing you to focus on what is important at any given moment. So if you practice this, say, 2-3 times a day for a few days, you should be able to recreate the flame in your mind so that you don't have to light an actual candle in your cubicle and set off all sorts of alarms. Just focus on the flame until you are fully present. And you'll be surprised by how quickly you'll be able to go from actual candle to mind candle, and also at how effective it is when you stick to it. I've taught this to dozens of military personnel. It's quick, it's cheap, and if you take it seriously, it's kind of groovy. All right, well, my God, this is the last letter in my little bowl of perpetual perplexity here. Let's see what we got. This is from Drew in Westport, and I think that's in Connecticut. And Drew writes, "Dearest Arnie, when I first heard you back in 2019, I thought to myself, what an arrogant, opinionated old bat, a remnant of everything we despised about the British Empire. But I stuck it out because at the time, at the time, my marriage was on the rocks due to my inability to control outbursts of emotion. My therapist suggested I should work on my triggers. And since nothing triggered me more than your show, I decided to listen to each one. I had no idea what effect it would have on me, good or bad, but I needed to do something, and that something was you. I was reluctant to admit this at first, but the more shows I listened to, the more sense you made. In time, I started looking forward to Wednesdays. What will she pontificate on? I asked myself. Will the cocktail be any good? Will there be any nuggets of wisdom or weirdness from the martini heads writing in? Thanks, at least in part to you, I went from peptic skeptic to prophetic in under 5 years. Keep doing what you are doing because you are changing lives. P.S. I voted for Trump because of you, and I have zero regrets. Drew in Westport. Huzzah, old chap. I raise my glass to you, my rapidly diminishing cocktail. I am so glad that you were so mentally triggered by my shows that your therapist thought it would be a wonderful exercise. And I would have been happy enough if you had just been neutral with what I said. But the fact that I actually make sense to some people on some level, that too makes me very happy. And that's all we have in the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. So now, my darlings, I think what I can do is to read to you my favorite little poem. Well, all of my poems are my favorite. But this is one that I had lost a while ago, and then I found. And if you think I'm waffling, it's because I've lost it again. There it is, thank heavens. So I found this while I was routing through my filing cabinets, doing purges, trying to find all sorts of receipts that I could use for my taxes so that I, you know, get a refund instead of having to pay them. And I found this, and I checked it against my poetry database, and it was recorded nowhere. But apparently 3 or 4 years ago, I talked about it and recited it on one of my poddies. So here we go again. And by the way, guys and gals, if you don't follow my Substack, you're missing out on good poetry. Arnie Avedisian's Substack. It's free. Go sign up. You'll make me very happy. Mwah, mwah. Thank you. So, darlings, we are going to have a little poetry corner here now. As I said, I wrote this a long time ago and forgot about it, and it's titled When Gnomes Go Bad. Here we go. There is something sinister about my new garden gnome. I admit I hesitated before bringing him home. I thought he looked lonely, in need of a friend. So to him, my company I did extend. I showed him around. He met other gnomes, living in libraries among leather tomes. He seemed happy. He seemed content. I saw no reason for regret or lament. But over the months, he has changed in demeanor. His skin is quite dry, and his eyes are much greener. The smile he sported is now more of a smirk. I can't shift the feeling that he might go berserk. I spoke to the fey folk. I asked their advice. Was he nice? Was he naughty? Or dealing in vice? They held a meeting, and they recommended that I throw him out, lest my life be unended. That should be upended, by the way, but I'm drinking. He's very bad news, they all said sincerely. He might be possessed. He's unstable, quite clearly. He can't hold a tune, and he only eats prunes. And on Fridays, he gets naked and howls at the moon. Well, that did it. The final straw. The last thing I need is a gnome in the roar. Tonight, when it's quiet and all are in bed, I will sneak up behind him and smash in his head. If I say so myself, that is a wonderful little poem. And no gnomes were hurt, either in the writing or recitation of that poem. Now, darlings, a shout out to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington. Online or on location, you will be sure to give them a standing ovation because they have everything you need for your metaphysical mojo. They have a bricks and mortar shop up there in Mount Vernon in Washington. But if you go online, mysticalwares.com, and just spend hours perusing all the stuff, they also have services. Eric, Derek is a really good energy worker. I don't say that lightly. And they're very good at packing. So just order stuff. It will all arrive unbroken and lovely. And oh my God, my darlings, I think we're coming to the end of the show. Let me have the last sip of my little drinky poo. Oh God, that was good. I want to thank everybody for writing in, all of the martini heads. I want to thank you all for listening. We wouldn't really have a show without you. And I really want to thank Cosmic Reality Radio for producing this show and putting up with me and all of my terrible poems for this past 4.5 to 5 years. Today's real life cocktail was a classic gin martini, but made the old fashioned way. And that means it's wet. You take one part gin, I use London Dry, Bombay, and one full part of blonde vermouth, white vermouth. And today I'm using Dolan because I don't like that really bright martini taste that comes with the martini vermouth. That's the sort of bright taste you get in airport lounges. So it's one part of dry gin, one part of a good vermouth, and put it on the rocks, shaky, 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 shaky. If you want a little bit of dirty olive juice, you can put it in there, but just strain it, pour it, add a couple of olives in there, and it's really different from the traditional dry martinis. It's delicious. But I have to say this, remember folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. It's been a pleasure. I'm Ani Avedisian. This was a Metaphysical Martini. And again, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, who, they rock. I love you. Mwah, mwah, smoochy woochy. Until we meet again, behave yourselves, unless you want to do something naughty. And if you are going to do something naughty, make sure you do it when the spirit inhabits the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.